Hey everyone, thank you for tuning in for yet another episode of Non-Corporate Girls. It's super special because it's our 50th one, the New Girl Blues. So keep listening because you won't be disappointed. We love chatting with you. Happy Thursday, everyone. This is Delilah, and we're super excited. We're here for episode 50. It's a super special episode.
Woohoo! It's Ayana, and your favorite girls are back. It's July. I feel like we haven't recorded in a long time.
In like a month.
Right, a long time.
A lot has been happening.
So we're super excited.
We are. We got new equipment. Like, we'll be here testing stuff out. We are not recording on the new equipment, unfortunately, but we are really excited that we have it. It's fine. Like, things happen.
That was funny. I'm done, though. Yes. So, title of this episode is New Girl Blues. And as Delilah mentioned, this is episode 50.
5-0. We would have reached here a little bit sooner, but, you know, with the whole not recording every week anymore, which me and Ayana both admitted that we really miss.
We do miss, but the bandwidth, though.
We be busy, though.
It's just one of those things.
Yep. So, there's more to talk about, so you haven't seen us or heard us in a little bit. So, yeah, we're going to catch you guys up.
So, jumping into our topic, New Girl Blues.
Mm-hmm. This was Ayana's idea for the topic, actually. She's been going through the New Girl Blues.
I have been going through the New Girl Blues, but I find it so inspiring that a lot of people can resonate with me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely, like, feel like it's a conversation we need to talk about. Like, I think that people need to hear our experiences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, let's backtrack. What does New Girl Blues mean? New Girl Blues is the feeling, it's like really an emotional feeling that you feel when you start a new job.
It's like even thinking about it when you move to like a new neighborhood or whatever.
Yeah, it can be applied anywhere. Uh-huh. It's like, so I was talking to someone today and he was like, it's like being a new kid in school.
Yeah,
it is. But I like New Girl Blues.
Like, I like
New
Girl Blues.
It just sounds better. Mm-hmm. Or new boy. We don't discriminate, you know.
At all.
So anyway, long story short, you guys know I'm a freelancer. I've been a freelancer for since last August. And, you know, freelance looks differently to everyone. It could be freelancing full-time. It could be freelancing part-time. It looks a lot of different ways. I was fortunate enough that when I left corporate America last time, I was able to get a freelancing gig where I freelanced a couple of days a week, which was super ideal, super great. There was a lot of cons about that environment, but super cool. I recently got a new freelance gig that is full-time. So I now report somewhere Monday through Friday, like everybody else, which I'm still trying to adjust to. But in the middle of all of that, I'm still like the new girl, right? Like there's so many things I need to learn. It's a different brand. It's a different business. It's just a lot happening. And I find myself struggling. But the thing about the struggle is that it's so internal. Like, nobody knows I'm struggling. Nobody feels like I'm struggling. I feel like I'm struggling. Like, I feel like I'm the girl who's always fucking up. I feel like I'm the girl who's never getting shit right. I feel like I'm the girl who walks into meetings clueless because I don't know anyone, which is expected. Mm-hmm. But the internal, like, struggle that I feel is so horrible because I'm a perfectionist. I like to know everything. I like to get my shit done correctly. And it's just,
I think if anything, that sounds more like frustration with not giving yourself the chance to be the new girl. Because it's like people like when they walk into a situation and you just want to know everything right then and there instead of kind of like absorbing and being okay that, you know, you're learning. I think the fact that nobody has called you out or said anything says a lot because they're not expecting you to know these things. Now, I feel like there's the flip side where people do feel like the new girl. And, you know, you're feeling this way and you are doing all these things wrong, you know, as you mentioned, but then you're not being corrected on these things.
Could possibly be doing a great job. The hope is I am, right? I mean, no one, there's no fires yet. Things seem to be moving.
Right. Nobody's like checking.
Nobody's checking for me. But it's like the internal feeling that you feel, like where every day there's like anxiety because you're just like, it's a fast moving environment, right? And I'm moving slow.
Right.
Because I don't. With due reason, I don't know what I'm doing yet. Like, I'm still trying to understand, learn the systems, everything. And you already know when it's a huge company and it's a different structure and maybe a lack of a structure, that's even more to learn and try and figure out and put your own processes in place. There's just a lot. And it's very overwhelming at one time. It's like being a big fish, a little fish in a big pond.
Right. The only thing with the New Girl Blues, though, is that I feel like in my perception of what it was, because I agreed with your definition, but I usually feel like New Girl Blues is like people are treating you like an outsider. They're not like, you know, like you're not being invited to the lunch with the cool group or whatever, and not necessarily that you
but know. But no, but that's part of it as well. That's part of it as well. And this is why, I had to recently write a blog post about it because everyone's experience is so different. Like for me right now where I'm at, all of this internal struggle has to do with the actual job itself. At my last gig, had to do with the actual job, had to do with the environment, had to do with how I felt alienated, had to, you know, like when you, when you're sitting in a cafeteria and no one's really talking to you because no one really knows you and it's not their job to know you, it's like, it's twofold. You should probably reach out, they should probably reach out, but at the end of the day, you're still the new girl. So what do you do? How do you feel? You know, it's all of that. It's like going to be in a freshman going to school and nobody fucking with you right now.
I think like part of it, because are you more social than me? Do you? No, you're not. Like, are you the type? Because every time we go somewhere, we know people. But I want to. I've never been in an experience with you per se, where like you don't know anybody. So I don't know how you treat that situation because. You kind of low-key are an introvert,
introvert. So I'm social when I choose to be social.
Got it.
And that varies. I could go to an event and choose to be a wallflower and not talk to anyone. I could go to an event and choose to be the life of party and be in the middle.
Same at, like, in a work setting?
I work off moods is how I am. Whereas you don't. Yeah. You're social. I would consider you a social butterfly.
I am, but I work off of vibes, too, because, like, I'm not going to try to approach somebody that... and then I'm going to still try to speak to you. Like, I have to see that a conversation will be likely to be had. So, like, in a work space.
I was going to say, well, tell us about one of your work experience. Like, have you ever felt the new girl blues?
Well, I was just, I'm currently, well, now at this point, I'm no longer, like,
the new girl, right.
And especially because a lot of people in my job have, like, moved on, so my team has changed and whatever. But, like, in this role compared to my last role, the new girl blue syndrome was totally different. And I feel like part of that does come with the onboarding because in this role, like, there was even a period, like, you know, they took the time to literally walk me around the whole office and, like, introduce me. And, like, even in our team meeting, the first one, they do, like, a formal introduction, like, hey, reach out, make them feel comfortable, make them feel at home. So I feel like if that's the culture and the environment where they do that, not saying, like, everybody's like, hey, new girl, like, let me do, like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, like, in a casual, like, break the ice situation. But I feel like it depends, it varies company by company. Because some people. Yeah, because I feel like in your situation, it's...
My current situation.
Your current situation, it's like, we know the type of people. It's a little bit uppity, is this. So it's like, you're thrown to the wolves. It's like, figure it out. Like, if you do find somebody cool, great. If you don't, like, get your job done, bye.
But you know what? Okay, so you know all my jobs. And you know my last situation was crazy. Well, my two last situations. This particular situation right now, I actually really like my coworkers. Like, I'm friends with them. We're cool. Like, I don't have no issue. Like, everyone's super nice, super welcoming. Not the vibe you would have thought from the last environment. This is why I'm like, for me, this right now is the layer that I'm talking about. For me, is internal. It's definitely internal. It's because I'm just so used to, like, knowing what I'm doing. And not that I don't know what I'm doing, because obviously you got hired for the job, you know, to some degree what you're doing. But it's just that feeling that you feel when it's just like, life is moving at 100,000 a minute at these places, and you're operating on, like, 1 minute. You're, like, 1 second. Like, it's not working out.
And you've never experienced anything like this. Until right now? Or have you felt like this?
No, I felt like this in all my jobs to a degree, but differently, right?
Because I was going
to
say, like, is this a level up?
And it could last differently. Like, I could feel like I could feel New Girl Blues for a week. Mm-hmm. I could feel it for a month. Some people I've spoken to are like, I still feel that way and I've been at my job 3 months. You know, it's just one of those things. And it just goes back to, like you were saying, self-sabotaging yourself. It's very internal. It's really internal. Even sitting somewhere, even going back to environment, sitting somewhere and feeling like just because you feel like someone is not welcoming, that you may not reach out to them, but they probably could be really welcoming. And there's nothing wrong with them, but you're just... Step. Yeah, you just feel like everyone around you is just not fucking with you. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, it's very internal.
Well, at least the upside is that you're aware of it.
Super aware of it.
So you're, like... You're going to have to try to figure out how to, like, dismantle.
Yeah, and I have been. And just for you people out there who feel like you could be going through New Girl Blues, some things that I do is meditate, work out, you know, making sure that I'm in the right headspace before I walk into the environment. Definitely breathing exercises have helped a lot. Cool. Falling back and just understanding, like, my role, what I'm doing, what I need to be doing more of, how can I do better if I feel a certain way. But the biggest thing, which Delilah brought up earlier, is just really taking a moment to just be the new girl, which is what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you just have to, like, there comes a point where you have to, and you will feel like this, but there comes a point where you have to just be like, I'm not gonna know everything. Mm-hmm. I just gotta let it roll. People understand, and if they don't, they're gonna need to, and we're just gonna, like, I'll learn it, I'll get it.
Yeah, it'll and happen. In the beginning is, like, your opportunity to make the mistakes. Like, yeah. Make them now, because if you are an employee 6 months later and you're making this mistake, you're gonna be shaded to some degree. As to suppose if you make it within the first month, couple of weeks, or whatever, you figure it out. And I also challenge those who are listening, from me, who is the more outspoken one and open to conversation, and I'm approachable, and I also would approach someone. I challenge you to, like, introduce yourself to somebody new, whether it's in your department or in another department. Mm-hmm. I had lunch with a girlfriend of mine, and she was telling me that she was working with an intern today, and the intern was very quiet. She was doing, like, errands with her, and she was like, it's kind of weird that they have an intern, because I don't feel like they're really as much needed in this season as they are at another season. And I was like, well, if I was an intern and I feel like I wasn't being utilized as often, I would, like,
reach out to other departments.
What? I would be in that database, like, who is the VP of that?
But we already know. Set up lunches. You could write a book on being an intern, though. Girl. Like, you could really legit write a book on how to be the best intern.
Girl.
That should be a topic. Is that going to be a topic?
You know what? I think it should be. It should be, because some of y'all do not know how to intern. Like, y'all be wasting y'all time. Mind you, shout out to my interns, because they go freaking above and beyond. Actually, we're taking them out to lunch next week. Oh, that's how dope they are. And, like, they're just so accessible and, like, I don't know. They're just great. Like, they're... And this is the first time in a row where I have, like, access to the intern. Because usually it's, like, an intern, but, like, your manager or director is the one who's using them. Like, this time is, like, the team's intern or whatever. So I just see how they are. And I was just listening to my girlfriend say, like, about this girl. And I was like, why is she wasting her time? Like, I would be so pissed. And this is, like, through a city program. Yeah. So she's probably young and doesn't even see it as a waste of time. But it's just, like... You need to do better.
And that's interesting, because I feel like the youth these days are above and beyond.
Well, you know
so,
what?
So, like, I'm shocked that she not.
And you know what? I was literally just listening to the news. I think it was last night. And no, the youth is, like, there's some disparity. Okay. But the numbers of people in summer youth employment have dwindled. And I was listening to, like, you know how the reporter asks his questions, like, to whoever. And it was, like, kids. And she was like, you know, school is so, with school being so stressful, I think during the summertime, I just want to relax. And I was like, I've been working since I was motherfucking 14. It's not about, like, you can't relax. Like, yes, I had my fun, but I was making money every single summer since as soon as I could.
Facts.
So the fact that that has dwindled, like, summer youth still does exist, because I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was like, do they still have the summer youth program? Like, is that still a thing? And my little cousin is working, and so is, a few other family members. But when I heard that story on the news, I was like, why are only 34% of youth, like, involved in working? Like, that
or
should be,
like,
a thing.
Or, like, in summer youth programs.
Yes. And one of the reasonings that was given is, like, maybe they have more money now. And I'm just like, I don't understand, because a lot of our parents are still kind of, like, working. Like, my mom is not retired.
Right.
So I don't understand where the disconnect is, because it didn't even seem like it was because they were doing some, like, entrepreneur endeavor or it was just like, nah, I'm not working because I had a stressful school year. And I'm like, hey.
At 14, I mean, not saying that your year is that stressful, but I can't.
I want to say this was high school. This had to be high school kids.
I can't.
I could get it in college, but, like, nah, people in college is working because shit is expensive.
Right.
So, yeah, that was just, like, mind-boggling. Y'all need to get up, get out, and go and get a job.
Well, anyway, I mean, I think that in general, like, when it comes to, like, being new in any environment, it's always going to be some type of struggle. And I guess the point here is you really make that. You really make it what you make it. So,
or you let it last as long as it's going to last.
Exactly. Exactly. So another interesting topic that came up in our month off, I guess, mm-hmm. is humbling yourself. And that's an interesting topic because it's not just in a work environment. It's mm-hmm. just humbling yourself mm-hmm. and whatever that is. And we had some discussions about this with our team. Mm-hmm. And we're really, like, we've been really talking about, like, what does that mean to, like, humble yourself across the board and kind of, like, what our experience have been with that.
What was the conversation? It was in our group chat that we were talking about. This, but was, I don't remember what, like.
It was just, like, it was basically about, like, someone alluding to the fact that they probably should have been paid more.
I know the exact situation. Yes.
And it's just, like, really taking a look at yourself and what that means. Like, did you really deserve that? You know, like, do you have the experience to back that up? Like, mm-hmm. why are you upset about? Like, just kind of understanding what your role is.
Right. Because sometimes we could, like, we all know what we deserve. But sometimes we think that we deserve things at a certain time that maybe we don't deserve it just yet.
Right.
It's, like, coming down the pipeline.
Right.
But you need to kind of, like, still pay your dues or whatever. But for me personally, I'm just over the paying your dues shit. Like,
right. No,
so
course.
You have to, like, really gauge in your personal situation and be honest. This is when you have to, like, be mm-hmm. brutally honest on what value you added to whatever situation when it comes to, like, dollars and cents.
But that's, like, going back to the whole intern thing, right? Like, you already know. Like, you, I think if I had to get, if there was, like, an intern award and I had to give an award for, like, the best intern I've ever known in my life, you would probably get that award, right?
I don't even know how, like, to feel about
that's
that.
Like, no, I'm saying, like in our internship days, right?
Right,
like,
right,
you
right.
would probably get that award. I would probably get, like, the second runner-up because I was a fantastic intern, but not to my own horn. But anyway. My point in bringing that up was going back to your story, like, mm-hmm. interns are the number one people who don't know how to humble themselves in different experiences. Mm-hmm. I know I've worked with interns who feel like they don't want to be doing this bottom barrel stuff. They don't want, like, all these things in different environments. And it's kind of like, one, you're an intern, and two, like, how are you using this opportunity? Like, what are you learning from this? What are you doing? Like, why you're so set on not wanting to do this that you're not even looking at what this is providing you?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And and I think that also comes with the humbling yourself. Then there's also, like, being in the work environment where you feel like you should get paid more. Like, are you going, like, if it's you, this is like Jessica and this is like Tony. Is Tony doing more than Jessica, but Tony's making less than Jessica, and Jessica feels like she should make more than Tony, but Jessica's not putting in the same work as Tony? Like, mm-hmm. humble yourself.
And when it comes to that, it's being able to do your normal workload plus more. Because one thing I've noticed, like, and I never gotten, and I'm going to speak about in our next
episode.
Not even next episode, in our next segment, is about having a certain support or, like, being kind of, like, encouraged to do things that are more than just... Because right now at my job, we are doing mid-year evaluations or whatever. So we got to do self-evaluations. Mm-hmm. And they was just kind of giving us the protocol of, like how to kind of grade yourself. Like, right. What does it mean? Like, if you're going to give yourself a 4 or 5, like, why should you be getting,
like,
that?
Because being a 3, honest with,
like, being honest, yeah. Because a 3 is like that you do your job.
You're average.
Not even average, but, like, you do everything that your job entails. So if you're in 4 and 5, that means that you're doing everything your job entails plus more. And I want an actual explanation of what that looks like. And me and one of my coworkers, we was just talking about, like, having, like, that support of wanting to do more and have a leadership role, because it's very easy to just do your job and go. Yeah. But if you're trying to grow, if you're trying to get promoted, if you're trying to get a raise, like, you have to see how, and this is a mentality that I don't know exactly when it set in me, but I'm glad it did. It's just like, and I guess it comes with, like, losing jobs when you get let go.
Growth too, yes. Right? Like,
it comes with, like, make sure that when cuts are happening or, like, people are going to get laid off, you're not somebody that they're trying to let go. Even if there's not funding, that they're probably, if you're that good, going to find where the money to come from to keep you.
You have to make yourself invaluable.
Invaluable.
Like that.
So that means that you know, like, everybody's job plus your job, and you could create a brand new role of something else. Like, you know, you have to be
You're the rock star.
Yes. And that doesn't mean burnout. People think it means burnout, but you have to be really smart and like, how can I help my boss make more money, save money, or solve an issue?
And there are people who've been at jobs for 10 years and just they've mastered their job. And I'm always confused by that because it's like, if I've been at someone's job 10 years, I'm pretty much going to know the president's job.
Right. I'm going to know how the whole gamut.
Even if I'm not in the president's role. But like 10 years, like you have mastered your job like 8 years ago.
Or you just understand what your role fits, but you don't know in the grand scheme of things how the whole operations
flow.
Yes. Like I'm always in like, as soon as I'm starting some new opportunity, I want to know where does this fit in like the workflow, because although I'm in this department and sales is that department, like for me to understand that sales having a job means I have a job, because whatever they're selling, I'm going to be like, you know, in charge of that.
And it helps you do your job better.
Yes, because then you know what it is that they're like selling or tacking on or whatever, like understanding. Even when it comes to operations, of what. So I feel like you really need to know your company in and out so that you can get promoted, or like if you're gonna move up or move lateral, whatever, or move somewhere else.
It's just recognizing where you are, where you're trying to go, and what you're doing. You know what I mean? And that's what we're saying with humbling yourself. Like everything isn't always and also everything isn't always about the dollar value. It isn't always like just figuring out, get your shit together. Yes. Know what your goals are. Uh-huh. Know what you need. And then figure it out from there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be upset that, like, you feel like you're not getting paid a certain amount or someone got something more. They probably, if they, be honest, did they do a better job than you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that what we're upset about? Like, I mean, transparency is just real. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Let that be, like, a driving force. Right. Be like, you know what? I got to get on my shit. And not all of this comes naturally, like, with the whole figuring out other jobs and seeing what your value is. Like, you really have to do a self-assessment of, like, what your goals
constantly
are. So you know what you're focusing on, what you should get better at, what skills you should acquire that may not be given to you right in your job. So you might have to do some outside, like, you know, work or whatever, or like
but
take a class.
But everything can be learned, which is the beauty of it all. You just gotta be willing to do it.
Facts. And on that note,
jumping into a positive note.
Yeah.
After, I know, I feel like we just talked about a whole bunch of stuff, but it's our 50th episode.
It is the big 5-0.
And it kind of like crept up on us in a way, because like, wow, we've had 50 episodes.
Yes, and also because like, I don't know when, but I felt like I stopped counting a little bit.
I did too, until we have to like,
because
put
we really be having
our production
to think
for our freaking episode. So just like quickly, just a quick thought. Like when we were doing episode 1, did you ever think we get to episode 50? when we were in our test mode.
I believed in us. Yeah. I really did. I really was like, we seemed really serious. Like once we recorded those first 4 episodes, where we're at and like how we even produced the show, I didn't think that was gonna like, I don't
even evolve.
Yeah, right. I didn't think that. I thought we was gonna keep on like
being on our cell phone,
winging it. Yeah, like, you know, I don't know. I just felt like it was gonna be like we were gonna take a series that we wanted to continue. And also, I didn't like, it's just become so second nature on the topics that we choose because in the beginning, we was like, what are we going to talk about? But we really knew we had a lot to say.
Which is crazy, though, because we used to record weekly. How the fuck did we come up with topics every week?
And let me tell you, the topics literally wrote themselves.
Yeah.
Because we try to go based on a theme of, like, literally what's happening in life. Remember, we used to use, like, in real time. Now, it's not so much in real time. We'd be backtracking a little bit. But, like, literally, as events will unfold, that's what the subjects of the podcast would be, and we would just be like, what's the overarching theme? So like we always said, doing our podcast was like a reflection of like kind of taking accountability, things that are happening or like how it makes us feel, and then kind of just sharing it and like discussing it. Was this is like recorded discussions that me and Ayana will have either through G-Chat or like regularly. Right. But now you guys get to, like, listen in on it.
It's been really, really cool, I think, mm-hmm. to, like, share our thoughts with everyone. And it's just, like, just the fact that, like, people actually, like, listen to us. They actually care what we're saying.
And we say that we help them. Offer valuable things to say. I mean, I don't have a gem or two here and there, but, like, you guys be motivating. And just even with the whole social aspect, because our biggest platform is Instagram as far as how we engage with you guys. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, wow. Like, people have, like... really been in tuned.
And that and that share about your DM follower.
Oh, like, yes. Speaking of, so rolls in. It rolls right on in. I got to give a shout out to Mr. Carlos Martinez, a.k.a. At Los Car Media. Okay, yeah. At Los Car Media. Spelled just like that. He's from Philly. He's a host on 96.1 WRD or Word. And he wrote to me in my DM. He slid up in the DM. He was like, I just heard your podcast, followed by... And then he did the three clap emojis. He was like, my emotions were everywhere. Then he put a heart emoji. He was like, I loved it. I should be supporting because you are truly inspiring. So keep doing you and continue being amazing, hunty. All love for me from now on. And then he ended it with a little yellow heart emoji. So basically, I noticed that Carlos was following me. So I, like, you know, naturally go see who's this new follower. And I check his page. And I noticed my homegirl, Delilah. Shout out at I am Delilah Z. It looks like she maybe mentors him or, like, he's also from Philly. So I was like, oh, I see Delilah, like, knows him. I definitely got to follow back or whatever. And then I actually hit him up in his comments. Cause I was literally his 1,000 follower. So I was like, hey, I'm your 1,000 follower. What's good? And then that's when he was like, oh my God, like, I already listened to your podcast. So I just felt like it was dope, like, to be supporting somebody. Cause I seen, like, what he's doing. Yeah. It looks like he's, like, into media. And he seems like a young kid. So keep on listening. And thank you for that shout out.
Yeah,
and it was, like, perfect.
Carlos.
Yeah, with the whole 50th episode. So I was like.
Yeah, that was I love when we get, like, our, like, testimonials or, like, people, shout us out.
Because we say so much and, like, it could be the simplest thing that is, like, the biggest thing to someone because depending what they're going on. So it's, like, really, it was that part out of all the things I said? Isn't I said?
It'd be real.
Yeah. It'd be real. So that's dope.
So, jumping into a hustle spirit, speaking of podcasts, we actually went to Black Girl Pod's live podcast taping.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, it was cool. It was dope. Shout out to the girls of Black Girls Pod. You guys are doing your thing. We're super supportive of you. And it was really great to see all the beautiful women of color in the room.
Yes, shout out
and
to
guys.
Pen. Yes, and guys. Shout out to Pen by Kiara. We stay bumping into her.
Right.
Somewhere. And the girls were just so funny. It was such a fluid episode because, you know, the energy when you're not being seen and when you're being seen is different.
Right.
So at first they were, like, acclimating a little bit of, like, you know, this is, like, we're having the conversation, but y'all looking at us having the conversation. So I like how they engaged the audience, mm-hmm. but, like, they still treated it like normal.
Yeah.
And they were super themselves. So everybody's super personality, if you listen to the episode, like, you see that same reflected in person.
It was so
person.
Easy to put the faces to the names.
Yeah, they're hilarious. But it was so good. Me and Ayana had a good time.
Yeah, and then I guess we have a lot of, like, media talk this episode because now too. I'm jumping into Angela Yee, right?
Yeah, so I came across her article that was written by Pollyanna Reed in Forbes. She is the co-founder of New Girl on the Block. It's a mentorship platform for millennials. I'm definitely going to look into that. I just found out about it today. And she's also on Twitter. So basically, the article... So Angela Yee spoke about her tactics for making her mark in the media industry.
Okay.
So she's been in Power 105, mm-hmm. One... Forever. But prior to that, she was in Sirius Radio. She's also a co-founder of The Juice, the natural juice store. What is it? I forgot the name. Juices for Life. Yes, she owns it as well. So three takeaways from the article that she said are her tactics for making a mark is her a duty to foster diversity, which means, like, bringing in different people of different backgrounds into spaces where you normally don't see of that kind, and like trying to do her part to like, you know, uplift the next people behind. And I thought that was like really dope. Another one was advocacy first, which for me stood out the most because that's something for the first time I'm getting a taste of and I've always craved in my job. So this is a little excerpt from the article. In her current position at Power 105.1, she looks to her boss, Thea Mitchum, the executive vice president of programming. As someone who understands the unique obstacles women in entertainment need to navigate, I think she is able to understand a lot of the things that I go through. And really, I just never had that before. In describing Mitchum as the only woman boss that Yee has had throughout her seasoned career.
That's crazy.
So there's so many things. I know. There's so many things. One, your only woman boss.
Crazy.
Like, that's so nuts, especially in that. And remember, we're speaking about the media sector.
Right, right.
So, again, this goes to the whole fostering diversity. There's not even many women, yet many women of color.
Right.
And then when it comes to the advocacy first, she looks to her boss. So whether it was a man or a woman, I'm glad that it is a woman, having the support of your higher ups to encourage you and advocate on your behalf and
it's super important
and be subscribed to your growth is something really hard to attain. And super that goes back hard. To leadership.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers ain't leaders out here.
No. Nope. People don't know what that means.
They really
People
don't.
Have no idea what that means.
Just because you're a boss, does you're not mean you're a leader. And I need you to really, really understand that. Just because you are a boss, you are not a leader. And I need you to take some organizational behavior, some psychology courses. Like, I am all for, and people when people say I'm inspiring and I'm that friend that's always like cheering you on, I take that in super high regard.
Right.
Because I know that those are factors of what it takes to be a leader. And I feel like I can pull out the best in you, I know how to manage people then.
Right.
Right? Because I feel like when you always harboring on the things that someone can't do wrong, you create these insecurities where they can't perform in their best selves because they feel like they're always being put under the spotlight.
Right.
As to suppose if you kind of give people the comfortability of where they best
to like explore and figure
yes,
it out.
Yes, like let them make the mistakes. Like I trust what you bring to the table and I trust that you want to challenge yourself and it might get a little messy, but you get what I'm saying? Like that's another topic and conversation.
It really is because I'm going to go back to my favorite new show on Freeform, The Bold Type, which I really
need
to
watch it.
Because it's based off of The Cosmopolitan. Remember?
Yes, like, you've been saying this for like ever.
But
I guess
her character is based off of Joanna Coles, right?
Joanna Coles, yeah.
So, she's bomb.com though. So she is advocacy first. Like just, I'm not even going to give spoilers or anything, but just away from the show, you know, obviously we don't know what really happens,
but from
the show, the way that this lady supports her staff and fuels them, these women, these young women to be better and to like be first and to like make moves and shut men down. And not because of like, oh, they're meant to shut them down, but to show that you are their equals.
Exactly. It's like, stand up for yourself. Show that you're allowed to be here.
Every episode, I'm just like, I wish she was my boss.
How many seasons is it? I'm about to go home and watch
it.
The
second season.
Oh my God. I'm going to go home today and I want to watch it.
This is probably like the fourth episode or something.
All right, cool. I'm going to go home. You guys need to watch it.
The most like, you know, I'll be sitting there like, just in awe.
Like, can you be my boss?
If I had a boss like that at like 25,
you know what?
Life would be a little different.
Girl.
I'm going to still be amazing.
Right.
But like to have someone who shows you like who is aware of your potential and helps you get there, faults and all, is what I'm saying.
And this even goes to relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you are in a relationship, let's say man and like whoever.
Any relationship.
You get what I'm saying, right? And because they say that the root of your reaching your highest high is to like be loved and supported.
Mm-hmm.
And it is so true. Like it, and not saying that you're gonna be loved by like your boss in a sense, like, you know,
right,
in a romantic way.
Yeah.
But just that they are so excited for like you to grow and like excel and do well. Like there's people that have moved on from their current situation. Let's say like a boss signed off for a position that boss knew you was going to be better over there than here. Like, as much as I didn't want to lose you as an employee. You
I'm
are
not gonna
that much
prevent you from growing.
Exactly, but there are people that will stifle you in that way.
And we know people who have like been sabotaged.
Or
like,
your boss will see you as a threat because they think you're going to take their job.
And we know people in those situations too.
And they exist and they're out here. And one of you could be that person listening. And I'm just going to shade you a little bit. And I want you to check you a little bit if you are. Because it's like, you're not gonna win.
And there's also like enough to go around. Like, it is not going to hurt you or interrupt your life to help the other woman up.
I'm
just
all
not
about helping.
You know what I mean? And people don't understand that, like, in order to like be a full, true human being and to actually give back, you actually have to help someone.
And that brings us to the final tactic that Angela mentions, which is reaching back to educate. You have to go back and pour it back in everything that help
it's
build you up is a cycle. And that's how we will get more brown, black people in these spaces because we need them there. You're going to grow. You're going to move on. And so who's going to be the one to take the next place? Like, we need to continue in that. And then at last, Angela says, you're more powerful when you're working with other women, when you're helping other women out, when you're going to them for mentorship, we are all beneficial to each other. It's like,
it's really true though. It's like,
go read
the fact
that article.
The fact that people don't understand that and they still don't kind of understand that, you know, like we've made so many strides as women, but there are still people who will put another woman down. There are still people who will shade you in the workplace. There are still people who will step on your toes.
Yes.
There are still people who will prevent, like, sabotage your work. We know people who've done that. Like, it's just crazy to me.
Listen to that episode with Sade with the girls that's trying to take out the deck. Remember that?
It's
like, come on.
It's crazy to me.
It is.
But, yeah, so that's a great article.
It is. It's on Forbes. So just Google Forbes and Angela Yee, and it'll come right up.
So jumping into pop culture, or off the record rather, your girl had her baby with Offset.
Congrats
Cardi
to Cardi.
B had culture, baby culture.
I hate the name.
Yep, but
horrible.
She had baby culture.
Don't say like that. I want that to be like Penelope or like Altagracia Maria. She could have a name that was super Spanish.
Su Amada.
Yes. Like anything but culture.
Done.
I'm going to call Kiari because I like Kiari. That was cute.
Yeah.
It's culture Kiari. Cephas or Cephas? I don't know.
Cephas.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's how you say it?
I mean, my friend's last name is Cephas. So I'm going to assume it's
okay,
Cephas.
Okay, so I would say it's that. But yeah, I didn't like the name Cardi. I love you, though. And I'm sure baby culture is cute, but I'm going to call it Kiki or Kiari. And the Shiggy Challenge. Oh, my God. Everybody has been out here doing the Shiggy Challenge with the Kiki. Do you love me? And da-da-da-da-da. And I was here for it. I think it's hilarious. I was loving it. The reason I'm even bringing it up is because since this thing took off, he has been on The Breakfast Club. He has been on Power. I mean, not Power. That's The Breakfast Club. He's been on Hot 97. He was on Fox 5. He was, like, just being recognized by celebrities all over. Ciara did it. Freaking Kirk Franklin did it.
That's how
Will
quickly
Smith
shit goes viral, though.
It does. But the thing is, what I want to say is, Shiggy been on this wave of, like, reenactment and doing funny things for long. Like, he's an Instagram sensation already prior to this, but this viral thing really took him to the next level. So that's what I want.
What's that quote? Your 1 year, your 10 year. What's the quote we love? Years for the 1 year.
Yeah, your 10, like, you could be working 10 years and that 1 year,
yeah,
something. Your 1 year could equal the 10 years,
yeah,
that you're working on. But that was like for Shiggy. Like, he's been out here doing his thing, and like, this really took off. And I just feel like it's another example or reminder, and I just wanted to share with you guys so that, you know, don't stop what you're doing. Like, he did not think, like, in his mind, there's probably so many other of his little vignette videos and whatever that could have taken
off,
and this is the one that did it.
It's just a constant reminder. As hard as it is.
I know.
To keep pushing through.
But keep pushing through. Like, you're going to have your Shiggy moment.
Because people checking for you. You
they
just don't know.
They are.
It.
Like, Will Smith did it. I was like, that's it. The challenge is done. Challenge, challenge done. Like, move on to the next challenge. Level up. Like, it's shut down. But, like, yeah, I just want to wish you all a Shiggy moment in your lives. So, hopefully that's coming sooner than later.
So jumping into hashtag obsessed with. Yes.
So in the last couple of weeks, every time we hit up the group chat, we like, oh, look, the first time that so-and-so
did X, Y, Z.
And we're like, why is it still a first time for a Latina? Or why is it the first time that a black girl is still doing this? Like, this not, like, these people have, these things haven't been done in 2018 yet. Like, it hasn't been done.
It's so crazy.
So, we're back to still, like, speaking of first.
Yeah.
And one happens.
And we will be for.
For a while. And I hope that our generation freaking floods the gates and becomes the dozens and thousands and millions. And it's no longer, it's not no longer like seen as a new thing.
Right, right.
And so I want to shout out Miss Marisol Castro. She's 43 years old, Puerto Rican, and she's from the Bronx. Mm-hmm. She is currently most known for being an announcer, a public announcer at Citi Field for the Mets. So she's out here in her hometown, New York. And she started off being an American broadcast journalist who was employed and anchored at WPIX. She was a weather forecast at the early show in CBS in 2011 and a features correspondent on the weekend edition of Good Morning America till 2010. And happy belated birthday. She just celebrated on July 8th. So she's a fellow Cancerian. And so, yeah, I just thought it was like, I knew that she was a big media person, and I know Marisol's name from, like, you know, all these mm-hmm. things that she's done prior, but it's just so crazy that...
That she's the first.
In this sector, like, yeah. There are no Latinas. And miss me with the BS that girls are not into sports. There are girls.
Not girls are into sports.
Yes, heavily, especially, like, in other states where football is huge, yeah. Or, like, you know, your dad or your parent, like, your
that's
family
really
is sports.
I really like that. Did you remember that show Pitch?
I love it.
I love
how
they canceled.
They canceled it.
It was so. I loved it.
I loved it too. She was so badass.
She was. I love her.
And she was beautiful.
She was gorgeous.
Yeah.
But either which way, I know. I agree with you. Like, it's the fact that. But going back, mm-hmm. The article that she was featured in, one of the articles at NBC News, Marisol, mm-hmm. such a good article though. Like, just listening to her story about, like, how she's moved up. Like, she used to be a teacher. Didn't and then she changed. That. She changed her profession, and this is where she's at. Like, dude,
and you from the Bronx, and you only
from
43.
The Bronx, like, living your best life. Like,
yes.
I mean, I'm just so impressed with her, and I think that it's amazing for people like this to continue to pave the way for things mm-hmm. in divisions that people don't see girls in. You
absolutely.
Know, they don't.
Absolutely. So that a little young girl who does like picking up a baseball can see herself yeah. reflected in these things because. It really does matter for you to see yourself in spaces because then it seems more attainable.
Of
it seems
course.
Like it's possible. It's not until you get older that then you realize, like, oh, I could be in this space. Like, if these examples are not seen from young, your thinking is smaller because
so
you don't see it. It's skewed. Yeah, and it's unfair. And I feel like we needed to introduce Marisol Castro because, you know, there's the names and there's the name brands, mm-hmm. right? So we need to keep on hyping up our own, whether it's women, but our people, because we are never on the front lines, but yeah. we're the ones that make the changes.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's because black women are fighting for certain rights. Latinas are, like, you get what I'm saying? It takes us, the strength of us, to make the freaking impact, but yet we're not in the front lines, or we're not getting those type of recognitions that
right.
we deserve, but we're the ones fighting the hardest for them.
And also understanding our fight, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Understanding that even though, like, and it's just, like, little things. Like, at the end of the day, you could be, like, the black director in the room
mm-hmm.
where there's no one else like you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You're doing something. There's no one like you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
just understanding the little things. Like, everyone doesn't have to be marching. Everyone doesn't have to be. It's in your life. What are you doing to be an agent for change?
Yes.
And, again, not saying that you have to, like, put on a hat and be like, I'm going to do this. But
right.
just being who you are and showing everyone who you are.
Yep. It's, like, literally the
huge.
Basic change starts with you.
It does. It
and
really
it doesn't
does.
Need to be publicized. It doesn't need to be shouted from
type.
The... I can't wait to watch. I'm going
to
watch it tonight.
You
I have something
to watch
to
the
do.
Type.
But yeah, guys, like, let's be great. Let's encourage each other to be great. And let's keep on, like, breaking these barriers because we are here. Every single day. We are here.
So to wrap up our Let's Talk About It segment, we have a really interesting question tying back to humbling yourself. Mm-hmm. And the question from our lovely social media manager is, what does humbling yourself mean in regard to new job opportunities? Does it mean settling for low pay for the moment? Does it mean pro bono work? Like, what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. So for me, like, to answer this question, I think humbling myself is being realistic and also being receptive. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if you have a notion of I know it all, you're automatically blocking yourself from being put in a space or being put in an opportunity where, like, you can be challenged because, right, you know, you feel like you can figure it out on your own. I'm always trying to pick up something new from someone else or, like, just see, even in the same job role, mm-hmm, with my coworkers, seeing what's a more effective workflow.
Right.
You know what I'm
learning
saying?
Learning from your counterparts,
learning because,
right,
maybe there's a way that I'm wasting time, whether it's 20 minutes more doing a task, where she just knocked it down to 10 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. Even something as small as that can really make a deciding factor. So just, right, humbling myself is allowing other people to teach me, even when we're equals and when we're not on the same level. And perspective. The way I see things is not how you see things, so...
It's about that diversity, right?
Diversity.
Fostering that. I agree. I agree 100% with you. I think for me, humbling myself, especially in the work environment, is definitely just kind of understanding my role, who I am, and, mm-hmm, what I'm trying to get out of it. And whether that is leveraging myself with other coworkers and seeing, mm-hmm, what I can learn from them, whether it is also showing them other things that they may not know. It's working as a team. You know what, yes, I'm saying? Like, we really believe in collaboration and things, mm-hmm, like that. And I think that from what I've noticed in a lot of work environments, there are definitely people who always want to, like, stand out. Mm-hmm. And no one wants the team to stand out. And for me, humbling myself is really knowing that I'm part of a team, especially if I am.
Yes.
And really putting the best foot forward as a team. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to put my best foot forward, but I'm only going to be as good as my team.
Yes.
So in work environments, that's kind of what it comes to. And then also when it comes to, like, the pay, I think there's a difference between humbling yourself and knowing your worth. So I think really understanding what that means for you will help when it comes to, like, pay and opportunities. Yeah. Do you take a pro bono job because it's going to help you get to another opportunity?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't, like, people, a lot of people feel like...
Be intentional.
Yeah, like, just because, like, don't feel any type of way because you're, like, you're not good enough or you're not great enough. You know what I mean?
Yep. And to add to that, something I'm personally working on also is... how can I say it? Like, understanding maybe in humbling yourself what your insecurities are to an extent. I don't know if that really makes sense here. But
it does.
What I'm trying to say is, like, I would get an email from my manager and cringe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always feel like, oh, like, they're complaining or, like, they're going to give me, like, feedback that I don't... Like, you don't want to hear when you're going to be... When you're told that you did something wrong.
But it's perspective, right?
Yes. So it's changing your perspective, like... And I just feel like part of that for me was because in other instances, the critique was never constructive. It was just like, you're doing shit bad. I feel like finally I'm in a place
with
negativity or like you're complaining or like you're like looking down upon me.
Right, right.
Rather where in these instances, it has shifted where the critique is more constructive in the sense is like, I want to help you correct your work or I want to give you feedback so you do it better the next time.
Mm-hmm.
And so being open to, like, receiving that, because if you don't know how to take criticism or, like, take everything personal or internalize everything, you create problems that don't exist.
That don't
like,
exist.
Your boss was not thinking about hurting your feelings when she told you this. It was just, like, fix it, moving on to the next. She forgot about you. But you over here, like, yo, she just came at me.
It's a work in progress. Because I feel the same way. There are times when, like, I'll do something and my boss will change something. And I'm, like, in my mind, I'm, like, but what was wrong?
Right.
Right. But it's, like, it's... First of all, it's also preference.
Yes.
And she's the boss. That's how she wants it. Got it. Heard it.
Heard you, sis.
Well,
on that note, we out of here. It was a wonderful time with you guys, but we gotta go.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to episode 50 of Non-Corporate Girls, New Girl Blues. Don't forget to follow your girls on the gram, Ayana at @the_Aya_brand, Delilah at @MissDelilahC. Tune in next time for episode 51, Bad Business Practices.